भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the seventh canto, chapter 15, text number 26. So this is a very important verse. It's could be entitled The Guru Factor. Yasya Saksad Bhagavati Jnana Deepa Prade Guru Martyasad Di Shrutam Tasya Sarvam Kunjara Sochavat Yasya Shakshad Bhagavati Jnana Deepa Prade Guru Martya Sadhi Shuttam Tasya Sarvam Kunjara Sochavat Yasya Shakshad Bhagavati Jnana Deepa Prade Guru Martyasa dihi shrutam tasya Sarvam kunjara sochavat Yasya sakshad bhagavati Jnana deepa prade guru Martyasa dihi shrutam tasya Sarvam kunjara sochavat. Yasya sakshad bhagavati. Vaishnavis. Synonyms, Yasya, one who, Saksat, directly, Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jnana Deepa Prade, who enlightens with the touch of knowledge. Guru, unto the spiritual master. Martya Asatihi considers the spiritual master to be like an ordinary human being and maintains such an unfavorable attitude. Shrutam, Vedic knowledge. Tasya, for him. Sarvam, everything. Kunjara Sochavat, like the bath of an elephant in a lake. Oops. Hold on a second here. Okay, translation by Srila Prabhupada. The spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. Please repeat. The spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. Purport. It is recommended that one honor the spiritual master as being on an equal status with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshad Daritvena Samasta Sastrai. This is enjoined in every scripture. Acharyamam Vijaniyat. One should consider the Acharya to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In spite of all these instructions, if one considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being, one is doomed. His study of the Vedas and his austerities and penances for enlightenment are all useless, like the bathing of an elephant. An elephant bathes in a lake quite thoroughly, but as soon as it comes on the shore, it takes some dust from the ground and strews it over his body. Thus, there is no meaning to the elephant's bath. One may argue by saying that since the spiritual master's relatives and the men of his neighborhood consider him to be an ordinary human being, what's the fault on the part of this disciple who considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being? This will be answered in the next verse. But the injunction is that the spiritual master should never be considered an ordinary man. One should strictly adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master, for if he is pleased, certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadad nagati katopi. Om Jnana Timadandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Yes, yes, Sakshad Bhagavati. Dhyanadipapradeguro Mrityasadi Suttam Tasya Sarvam Kunjara Suchavat. Something's not working right here. So the translation. The spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment, his Vedic studies, and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. So this is an interesting word, the factor. I mentioned how this class could be titled the Guru Factor. There's the definition of the word factor. There's an old definition. It's like an agent or a deputy or representative. But a factor is something that has a powerful influence or a result, an outcome. So when we talk about the Guru Factor, who is a powerful representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how we deal with that personality, our attitude towards him, can be the cause of our liberation or our damnation. So this is the Guru Factor. It's very important. Just like a parent, has a responsibility, and the child is there. And how the parent deals with the child, if the parent's a bona fide parent and the child is submissive, then there's a good result. So the guru and the disciple both have to be qualified, have to be bona fide. So this is an important instruction in this verse. It's probably one of the most important instructions to understand who is this guru, who's the spiritual master. So it's described how when Lord Brahma first came out of the lotus flower, he didn't see anything. He didn't know anything. He was just wondering what's going on. He's bewildered. And what happened is Krishna himself appeared as the Chaita Guru in his heart. And that's how he enlightened Lord Brahma. So that same Chaita Guru is externally manifested as the spiritual master. The same Lord in the heart is manifested as the personality that we can see as the spiritual master. So that person is an authorized representative. He's a bona fide representative of the Lord. So why is that? Because there's not a time when he's not connected with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he assumes the nature of the Lord. Just like the analogy of the iron rod. If you put an iron rod in fire and it associates with fire constantly, then it actually becomes fire. You could touch this iron rod to this table and it'll burn. So this is the analogy that's given. So this guru is not an ordinary person, and if we take him lightly, or if we take his instructions lightly or cheaply, then the result is that we actually become atheistic mentality, or we become a Mayavadi. So the mentality is very important. That mentality can be the seed to offenses. It may create envy. So this envy is there, and it may even start with your godbrothers and people, your peers. And then it'll lead to the spiritual master, and then eventually it'll go to Krishna. And we have the example of that is Ramachandra Puri in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, who was always finding fault with the devotees, criticizing. And then he actually came to where he was finding fault with the spiritual master and tried to instruct him as an ordinary person. And then finally he actually went and had the nerve to find fault with Lord Chaitanya. So this is what happens. So what is the position of the guru? We just there's that verse from the Guvastika. We see him every morning. Nikunjayuno Ratikela Sidaya Yaya Lebir Yuktir Apeksaniya. So that's the position of the guru. We may not understand how is it that and he's always engaged in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. How can I see my guru like that? Someone actually asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the meaning of this verse? Nikunja Yuno. And Prabhupada said, book distribution. So one may not understand that, but actually, when you distribute books, Prabhupada said, you understand this verse. What are we doing distributing books? We're glorifying Radha and Krishna. We're trying to bring more and more souls to the lotus feet of Rukmini Dwarkadish, of Radha Krishna. There's that famous statement by Ramachar which said that book distribution is like, you know, assisting the gopis, and Prabhupada confirmed that. It was true. So what is a bona fide guru? His only purpose is to glorify Radha and Krishna. And why should we accept a guru? It is so important. This is probably the most important thing, is to accept a guru, someone who can take you out of this material world. So it's not like, should I or shouldn't I not? You must. If you want to get out of here, if you want to make the great escape from this material world, then you must accept a guru and achieve your ultimate perfection. And that's going back home, back to Godhead. There's these nice verses we sing in the morning, how the spiritual master is dear because it's assisting the gopis. There's that one verse we just discussed. And how the spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he's the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. By his mercy, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, we can't make any advancement. Therefore, I should always remember and praise the spiritual master at least 3 times a day. Should offer respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of our spiritual master. So one may think, I mean, in the beginning days, many people had a difficulty understanding this guru factor. You know, maybe even today, it's still so. We have to understand and analyze these different attitudes and conceptions. So one may think, a guru means heavy, right? So what is a guru? Oh, he's a heavy dude. He sits on the Vyasasan and says, hey, get your act together. Enough of all this sense gratification. You're just attached to material things. When are you going to get serious about Krishna consciousness? Is that the meaning of heavy guru? Maybe, but not necessarily. But heavy guru means that the guru doesn't swerve. He doesn't sway from his position. He's fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's why he's called heavy. Other people, other gurus, you can see, you can even confirm this with Suradas, with all these different gurus. They're all lightheaded and la-la-la land. And, you know, they always change their position. Any little wind comes by, they're shaken on the path. They're pushed off by the course of the wind. So, you know, things change, you know. So they change with the flow of everything. But there's not a time when the spiritual master is not at the feet of Krishna. He's always there. So he's always, it's nice to know that there's somebody steady. He's always there. He's always attached. He's always preaching. There's some shelter. There's some relief there. So we should be so grateful for that he's heavy and he's fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Or one may have the mentality that, oh, you know, my spiritual master, he's better than your spiritual master. Or like he can quote more verses than yours. He can explain the most complicated philosophy. He knows more stories about the pastimes of Krishna. And my guru is senior than your guru because, you know, he served Prabhupada directly and your guru came much later. Like that. He's in a close associate of Prabhupada. Or my guru, he's actually in Vrindavan. You know, he's a Rasika devotee. You know. And then some may have heard, oh, my guru, he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, Prabhupada said. Or my guru, he knows the entire Bhagavad Gita by heart. So even one devotee told me personally, came up to me, And he kind of whispered, he said, you know, your guru and my guru are the only Mahabhagavatas amongst all the other gurus. And I was like thinking, what are we in kindergarten? You know, my dad's bigger than your dad. My dad's a policeman. My dad could beat up your dad. Your dad's fat. My dad's skinny, you know, like that. My dad's tall. My dad's fat. And we shouldn't think of the guru like that. You can't judge the guru by these external manifestations or appearances. But we simply have to see that it's fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. And by connecting with him, then we become connected to Krishna. So even we heard a lot of wonderful stories of Shruti Kirti when he was here about sometimes a spiritual master, he may actually joke with you. He may have laugh. He may have fun. These things are there. He may play around a little bit. But, you know, suddenly, what's the result? You're doing something for Krishna. And that's a Shruti Kirti realized. That actually, Prabhupada is telling me all these things and didn't even dawn on me that he's actually instructing me. He's telling me so many different things like that. So this is it. Just like Prabhupada's, sometimes his playfulness, there's this story of Srila Prabhupada walking through the fields and Bhavananda is reaching out his hand to help Prabhupada cross over the ditches. So Srila Prabhupada comes up to him and just pushes him really hard, you know, and you know, he was bewildered. He pushed him off. Then Prabhupada gets up there and stays and he said, this is the impersonalist. He takes knowledge from the guru, and then he pushes him away. So this is Prabhupada, his teaching, his preparing his devotees, his disciples, his making them stronger. So Prabhupada is always putting it to the test. There's that one time, I think it was right in the garden, where some devotees are about to get sannyas initiation and things like that. And Prabhupada said, he looked at all the leaders, the main heavy leaders. Are you convinced? And all of them look down to the ground. So we have to be convinced of this philosophy, convinced that the spiritual master. By no means is the spiritual master as powerful as the Supreme Lord. I mean, the Supreme Lord is omniscient. He knows what's going on in the heart of every living being. He knows the thoughts of every creature. And he doesn't get confused about whose is which and, you know, doesn't have a hard time categorizing them and keeping track. But he knows everything. You know, it's a lot to keep track of. The spiritual master is not like that. But he may know or he may not know whatever Krishna wants him to know about you or about anything. And there's many stories of even our present gurus, how they knew things that were going on with their disciples and they immediately approached them on it. And they say, how did you know? Krishna told me. There's many stories like that. We don't have time to go into too many of the stories, but it's very interesting. You probably have some with personal experiences. So anyway, the spiritual master, he sees himself not as Krishna. He's not that puffed up. But he sees himself as a fallen soul, actually, trying to be a good instrument for Krishna. But that's not our vision. We don't look at him like that. Oh, he sees himself as fallen. So therefore, oh, he's fallen. We don't see him as an ordinary human being. In this verse, it's warned against that. But he's an empowered human being. You know, it's not like he can lift Govardhan Hill. He has limited strength. He has faulty senses. You know, and maybe he may even make mistakes. There was some nice stories. Srila Prabhupada was on the beach. And Prabhupada said, look, a scorpion. And everybody could see it was a crab. Ooh. Prabhupada made a mistake. Maybe there's more mistakes. Maybe he could make other mistakes, you know. And then someone asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, does the spiritual master make mistakes? And Prabhupada said, no. And they said, but Prabhupada, sometimes he may mistake one thing for another. And Prabhupada said, that's material. He always gives transcendental knowledge. He always points to pure devotional service to Krishna. He never makes a mistake about that. Or sometimes we may think, oh, Prabhupada quoted the wrong verse, or he made something different in there, or like that, sometimes different quotes. So, but he doesn't make mistakes about pure devotional service. Even the great acharyas, it's described that Vishnuvatthu Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami had an argument about this manvantara, you know, the different universal destructions, and they had a disagreement. So, in the chain of our disciplic succession, there's some disagreements. Does that mean that our knowledge has changed? But no, that's just a detail. Those things happen. It's just, you know, there's so many universes, so many things. How can anyone know all these details? Only Krishna can know. So acharyas may make a little mistake about a detail, but it doesn't matter because they have the essence of pure devotional service to Krishna. All his actions are merely to bring people closer to the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, everything he says, he writes, they're perfect, even though we may think they're imperfectly composed. They're heard and sung by men who are thoroughly honest. There's an interviewer who was challenging Srila Prabhupada, and he said, I heard that the Guru is perfect. And Prabhupada said, yes. And he knows the answers to all the questions. Yes. Then how many windows are in the Empire State Building? And Prabhupada, without even skipping a beat, he said, how many drops of water are in a mirage? So that's heavy. Guru's heavy. No waiting period. He just answered. He's completely fixed to Krishna. So he gave him the real answer. Your entire Empire State Building, what is it? It's just an illusion. He answered more perfect than the man was expecting. He went to the root of the whole thing. There's Prabhupada was invited in London to this, what they call a Mensa club. It's a club of these elite people. They have an IQ of at least 148 just to get in the door. So they wanted to have a discussion with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was explaining to them about how, you know, we don't pour water on the leaf, but on the individual leaves, but we pour water on the root. And then one puffed up gentleman, you know, he's like a lawyer, Prabhupada goes, well, Swamiji, I beg to disagree. Because actually, you can pour water on leaves and make a delicious beverage called tea. So just, they say how stupid. And also at that same place, Srila Prabhupada was explaining how, you know, there's a sunny side and a shadowy side. So in the same way, there's Krishna, he's like the sun, and there's Maya, is like darkness, the illusory energy, you know, and Krishna consciousness. And then another gentleman says, well, I beg to disagree. Because actually, there's no shadow on the sun. It's light on all sides. And the shadow is there only from the perspective of the observer. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that's what I mean. He was trying to act like, but he didn't really get the point, but that's what Prabhupada was saying. And then later he goes, Swamiji, that point you made, it made a lot of sense. You know, he's trying to act like he really understood what Prabhupada was saying. So at the end, Prabhupada says, oh, that was a wonderful debate. You know, they like to debate. And then they said, we have one more request, Swamiji. And Prabhupada says, yes. He goes, would you be willing to do our test? And Prabhupada says, huh? He says, what kind of test is that? And he says, the man says, it's an intelligence test. And Srila Prabhupada says, intelligence? And he says, intelligence is not very important. And the man was shocked. He just stood there with his mouth open. He says, never, for the first time, he didn't know what to say. So, and then Prabhupada said, we have our own test. And he said, you have your own test, Prabhupada? You have your own test? And he says, yes, we have our own test. And he says, what is that? And he says, we have a test to see how God conscious someone is. So there it is, bang, Srila Prabhupada, heavy guru. And that was the last word, and Srila Prabhupada left. So Prabhupada, you see, is heavy, like a heavyweight boxer, just bang, bang, knocking them all out. Like that with the philosophy, with his dedication, with his attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. So you can see how Prabhupada gave perfect answers because he was always pointing towards Krishna, teaching devotional service. How your big brain is not so important, but it's your consciousness that's important. It's like Prabhupada said, they asked Prabhupada, why have you come to America? To teach you what you have forgotten. So just such brilliant, clear answers. And you could just see how Prabhupada was so dedicated to Krishna. But we may think, oh, the spiritual master, he has an infirm body. His body's weak. Even in the last days of Srila Prabhupada, you know, they wanted Prabhupada to stay. You know, his body was, you know, about to go, and they're begging Prabhupada to stay. And then Prabhupada says, oh, you want me to stay? Actually, it's up to Krishna. But he said, no, actually, Krishna left it up to me if I want to stay or not. They go, please stay, Prabhupada, please stay. So he said, okay, bring me some juice. So then he stayed some more. And then he was in Vrindavan, you know, couldn't do anything hardly. And he heard about the bullock cart going around the parikrama, going around Govardhan Hill. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to do that. And, you know, Prabhupada, you know, in his condition, going around in a bullock cart. And the devotee was saying, horrible. Another devotee said, horrible. And he's dying. How are you going to take him across, you know, on a bullock cart? And then, no, but the guru is perfect. He never makes a mistake. You know, he said. And then Brahmananda was appointed to go and say and beg Prabhupada, please, Prabhupada, don't go on the bullock cart. We're so worried about you. You could die there. And Prabhupada said, oh, you don't want me to go? He said, okay, I won't go. And then they're like, Prabhupada, you're driving us mad with love for you. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is my duty. So this is, the guru he's doing. He is always trying to bring us back to the lotus feet of Krishna. So these are some interesting ideas and how to understand different attitudes towards the guru. And then there's some quotes here that Prabhupada refers to that backs up everything that's said. There's this one quote from the Adi Lila. There's a chapter, actually, in the Adi Lila, chapter 1, on the spiritual master. So it's a good chapter to read. And there's this one verse. Vande gurun isha bhaktan isham isha vatara kam tat prakasams chatach chakti krishna chaitanya samgikam. I offer my obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, I just have a few quotes from the purport here. He said, gurun is plural in number because anyone who gives spiritual instructions based on the revealed scriptures is accepted as a spiritual master. Although others help in showing the way to beginners, the guru who first initiates one with the Maha Mantra is to be known as the initiator. And the saints who give instructions for progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness are called instructing spiritual masters. The initiating and instructing spiritual masters are equal and identical manifestations of Krishna. Although they have different dealings, their function is to guide the conditioned souls back home, back to guided. And then another section, Srila Prabhupada says to that purport. One should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master and be initiated is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back to Godhead. One who is not properly initiated may present himself as a great devotee, but in fact, he is sure to encounter many stumbling blocks on his path of progress towards spiritual realization, with the result that one must continue his term of material existence without relief. Such a helpless person is compared to a ship without a rudder, for such a ship can never reach its destination. It is imperative, therefore, that one accept a spiritual master if he at all desires to gain the favor of the Lord. The service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, a devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. There is no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. If one thinks that he is above consulting anyone else, including a spiritual master, he is at once an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. Such an offender can never go back to Godhead. There's some more quotes here from This is from that same chapter, just different verses. And I just picked out some nectar quotes from the purports here. Krishna should be worshipped with his devotees. The diverse principles are therefore the eternal paraphernalia through which the absolute truth can be approached. So just see the devotees, his spiritual masters, are the paraphernalia. This is the diverse principle of Krishna. Every living entity is essentially a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the spiritual master is also his servant. Still, the spiritual master is a direct manifestation of the Lord. With this conviction, a disciple can advance in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master is non-different from Krishna because he is a manifestation of Krishna. The spiritual master's eternal occupation is to expand the service of the Lord by training disciples in a service attitude. The spiritual master never poses as the Supreme Lord himself. He is considered a representative of the Lord, the Guru factor. The revealed scriptures prohibit ones pretending to be God, but a bona fide spiritual master is a most faithful and confidential servant of the Lord, and therefore deserves as much respect as Krishna. This is a nice verse. Guru Krishna Rupahana Shastrena Pramane, Guru Rupa Krishna Kripa Karena Bhaktagane. According to the deliberate opinion of all revealed scriptures, the spiritual master is non-different from Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master, delivers his devotees. And Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse, the relationship of a disciple with his spiritual master is as good as his relationship with the Supreme Lord. A spiritual master always represents himself as the humblest servitor of the personality of Godhead, but the disciple must look upon him as a manifested representation of Godhead. And there's a verse that Prabhupada quoted in the purport. Acharya mam vijanayan navamanyeta karichit namritya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guru. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is a representative of all the demigods. So Prabhupada says in the purport, a spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He's like a parent. Without the attentive service of his parents, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. Prabhupada also mentions in the purports there that how the spiritual master is called Acharya, which means he's a transcendental professor of the spiritual science. So he's our teacher. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain more and more about this Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy, how Krishna is simultaneously one and different, and how many of the Acharyas explain more into detail how this is a fact. And also, one more last point here. It's described how, by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that the spiritual master is a bona fide representative of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna teaches, or Sri Krishna himself teaches us as the instructing spiritual master from within and without. From within, he teaches as Paramatma, our constant companion, and from without, he teaches from the Bhagavad Gita as the instructing spiritual master. So there's two kinds of instructing spiritual master. One is a liberated person, fully absorbed in meditation and devotional service, and the other is one who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relative or relevant instructions. And then goes to, so far as to say, in the, this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the spiritual master is actually the personal manifestation of Srila Madana Mohan Vigraha, whereas the instructing spiritual master is a personal representative of Srila Govinda Dev Vigraha. And both these deities are worshipped in Vrindavan. And Srila Gopinath is the ultimate attraction in spiritual realization. So this is some ideas on the guru factor. If anybody has any comments or questions, realizations. Yes, is it Mike is coming for Kriya Shakti, I think.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. There's one comment that Srila Prabhupada made when one devotee asked him about his relationship with Krishna. And the devotee asked, Srila Prabhupada, can you tell us something about your inner life, meaning your relationship with Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada said, that you do not require. So the devotee tried to angle in on the question, same question in another way, and Srila Prabhupada cut him short, and he said even louder and more strongly, that you do not require. And when you were commenting about bogus guru and, you know, the spiritual master, there was, Srila Prabhupada made a comment about one guru who had passed away in a sitting position, and the devotees and his disciples thought that he was in samadhi. And Srila Prabhupada said, what kind of stupid disciples are these? They don't even know the difference between a live body and a dead body.
Yeah.
But he's criticizing the disciple, the guru also, that he has not instructed his disciples in the same way. He said, we can criticize the disciples. So he criticized in that way. And he said, and they only realized that he was dead until he began to smell.
Wow, geez. Thank you. There was some other question over here, I think. Comment? Yes, Bhakti Eric. Go ahead.
Anyone else have a question? I just have to try to remember.
The question disappeared. It disappeared. It'll come back. Just start talking, it'll come.
Maybe could you elaborate maybe a little bit more on like this discrepancy between like the guru's kind of perspective on, you know, why is the guru considering himself to be fallen, whereas, you know, the disciple considers him to be the most exalted? Like, what causes that?
That's his humility, that he knows he's not Krishna and he's not pretending to be God, like some of these so-called gurus are actually claiming to be God. You know, he's very humble. There's a devotee who gave a class about this so-called guru who is calling himself an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. And in order to get his darshan, you had to give him 100 rupees. And he was surrounded by all these young women and stuff like that. And he used to fly in places with helicopters and claiming he was an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. They said he even came to Mayapur or something. Bogus guru. So he's not like puffed up like that, but, you know, it's very humble. But that's not our attitude towards the guru. You know, how would you feel if someone, you know, you feel fallen, right? And someone's always battering you and saying that, you know, oh, you're fallen, you're just useless, you're just a dog, you know. It makes it feel worse. But you should get encouragement from your godbrothers, from your leaders. You should be encouraged, you know, like that. So in the same way, you know, it's in a more transcendental platform, an elevated platform towards a spiritual master like that. So you thought of your question?
I guess kind of like, you know, in my position, I'm still not initiated yet, so I'm still kind of trying to connect to Parampara as best I can. Do you have any advice of how to do that in such a way as, you know, that's most effective, or, you know?
I think you're doing the right thing as you're doing now. I think you're properly situated. Just continue as you're doing. You know, like Prabhupada said, you distribute my books, you understand the spiritual master, his intimate connection with Krishna. And there's so many nice senior devotees here, you can get counsel and advice. And just pray to Krishna. You have to cry for the spiritual master. You have to cry. You have to cry. Like Prabhupada did, like all the acharyas, they have to actually cry. That's actually, I can't remember, I was just always searching actually too, and trying to find spiritual answers and stuff. And then one day I became frustrated, and I remember I was at my sister's house in Boulder, Colorado, and I was just laying on the bed, and I was thinking, I was like, where are you, God? I was like, you know, almost like mad, where are you? You know, and then I just began to like cry, where's God? And then the next day I met a devotee and joined the temple in Denver. Yeah, so you have to cry, to beg for it. Otherwise... So, any other comments? Questions? Did someone over here have a comment? Did you want to say something? No? Okay. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.